This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Get your motor
running. Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Yes, exactly as the man said. It is Saturday afternoon, it is 4 o'clock, which means it's time for another hour of motoring madness. I say that every week, but I haven't thought of anything better to say yet, so you're just going to have to stick with me. My name is Daniel Gardner. Thank you so much to the wonderful people on that. What was it? Critical Hit. Sorry about that, gentlemen. Oh, honestly, I'll get it right one week. Another week now for motoring. We are talking all things motoring this week. Plenty going on. I'm going to be talking about Lamborghinis. We're going to be talking about muscle cars. We're going to be talking about something called a tartan prancer, which is nothing like a muscle car or a Lamborghini. And I will be introducing some very special guests. You might be familiar with one or two of the voices, but you definitely won't be familiar with one. In particular, I will be introducing our US correspondent. So stick with us. My name is Daniel Gardner. You just listened to a bit of Elizabeth Rose, which is a personal favourite of mine, with the Aston Shuffle. That track was called Back and Forth. Good afternoon. This is Fender Bender, the Joy's very own motoring show, and I'm confident in saying the very best motoring show on Joy 94.9, by default. I am joining you, taking the helm from Tim Nicholson. He is overseas at the moment. He's travelling around Thailand, driving the new Ford Everest. He'll be back next week to tell you all about that. But in the meantime, I'm joined by some very special people. I'm going to start with you, Mr. Paul Merrick, road test editor from Car Advice. How are you, sir?
Senior road test editor.
Sorry, all right. Sorry, okay. I just wanted to I've gone and embarrassed myself already.
Check that. I'm very well, thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, well,
it smells lovely in this studio
too. Really, that's not me. That's not me
either.
Normally, when I've been here, it smells like a badger set. I'm also, thank you, lovely to have you back. We're also joined by the lovely Finn Tor, senior writer, senior journalist from Car Sales.
I'm the shit kicker.
Okay, all right. That's not what it says on your card.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would just like to say good afternoon to the panel, everybody, and the listeners at home.
So. Excellent. Now, speaking of the
so
panel,
polite.
These are familiar voices, dear listener, you're hearing right now. But I'm about to introduce someone who is not so familiar to Fender Bender. I'm very proud to introduce the fabulous Amanda, who is Fender Bender's US correspondent, flown in especially for the show today,
the
way from Texas. Thank you so much for being with us, Amanda.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I was going to try and pronounce your surname, but I'm not going to because I won't get it right. I want you to do that.
It is Amanda Palacios. It's a Spanish last name.
Oh, wow.
That sounds a bit good to me.
Yeah.
Now, we're not just having you on because you sound right for radio. We're having you on because you are going to be our muscle car enthusiast and authority.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, we're talking to you a little bit later about muscle cars in the US, and also it seems to be an emerging scene here in Australia. So we're really looking forward to hearing what you have to tell us about things going on in the US. In the meantime, though, we're going to keep things a little bit closer to the home and talk some news as we always do every week. And we're going to kick off with something about the Toyota Hilux, a very popular car in Australia. It's now just been unveiled in its newest incarnation, but there's something not quite right about it, is there, Paul?
Yeah, and it all sort of started at the original press conference when they wouldn't comment on the petrol V6 option, and I've discovered since that that's because they're not upgrading it. So instead of getting the more powerful version that you can find in the Prado, which makes over 200 kilowatts of power, you're instead going to be stuck with 175 kilowatts of power and 376 newton metres of torque, which is
about the same as a sewing machine.
Exactly, yeah. A Janome overlocker would make more power. So it's pretty disappointing, and Toyota hasn't really explained yet why they haven't upped the power on it. So,
but is it possible that they want maybe more reliability? They'll go, okay, we'll give it more power, it'll last longer.
Perhaps.
Throwing it out there?
You have to then wonder why they've upgraded it for the Prado.
Mm.
It's got like over 40 kilowatts of power more.
Exactly, good point. So yeah, if they've done it for one other model, then why can't they do it for the Hilux? If you are short of a bit of torque, then you can have a diesel, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So the diesel's the best option. But we actually had a guy email us during the week saying that he loved the idea of the petrol because it's fast instead of the diesel, which he thinks is slow. And I'm like, yeah, that's great, but it uses 13 litres per 100 on average. So
ouch.
That is a lot
that's
of
like
fuel.
50% more or something,
yeah,
isn't it?
Imagine if you were towing as well.
Yeah.
Ooh, yes. Or you've got it full of slabs of beer and Kelpies, which is what I see all Hilux is doing.
Yes.
They never actually go off-road.
No.
They just fill them up with, like, cement mixes and beer, and then that's That's it, isn't it? That's all the Hilux does.
Exactly.
But it's very good at that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and also the biggest question here is why no turbocharged petrols for basically any Toyota? What's going on there? Everyone else has realised that turbocharging is the way to go. It's good for efficiency. Mm. It's good for power. And yet Toyota still have their hands in their pockets and they're not doing turbos at all.
Yeah, the question is, does it matter? I mean, if they're getting away without putting any engineering money in and people are still buying these things in droves, why would you bother? You
know? Absolutely right. That's if you fair. Are one of those people out there who has bought a Hilux without even thinking about it, no, there's many good reasons for buying a Hilux. If you're one of those people, I want to hear from you. 0427JOY949 is the text, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. I want to know why you bought a Hilux, and if you're annoyed that you've not got more power in the V6 when it's coming up.
I think people probably have bought the Hilux specifically because of the instance we were talking about earlier, the Top Gear episode, where they try to destroy the Hilux. They drive it up a volcano or something insane like that and use, I think, vodka to keep the tires from, like, burning or freezing or something like that. Insane. And then the vodka went up in flames. And so then the car
which is
starts,
a terrible waste.
Oh, yeah. It was a sad day for vodka.
Yeah.
We all felt the loss. But, honestly, my brother has wanted a Hilux now because of that show. We watched Top Gear religiously.
Is that right?
Yeah. Only British Top Gear. Australian Top Gear, it's all right. I'm sorry for the Australian listeners. It's not anything. It's not anywhere as good.
But you've got US Top Gear as well, haven't you?
I've never watched it.
Why not?
Apparently it's not bad.
It's good.
I've heard it's getting better, but I've never watched it, so I can't go.
It feels wrong. Yeah. You know, it doesn't feel right to watch American Top Gear. It didn't start in America.
Speaking of Top Gear,
you know,
apparently, I know this isn't on the news sheet, Dan, but
no, please, let's vent.
Video, one of the new streaming services in the US, has signed up Clarkson May.
That's
and
right.
Who's the other guy? Richie Hammond. Yeah. So next year we're going to see a new show which hasn't been named yet, starring the Top Gear guys. So they will
so
be back.
Excited.
Yeah, but streaming only, and you can't get this service in Australia yet. Unless you use a VPN, Mr. IT over here.
I'll hack that.
Yeah.
like everything you can't get in Australia, like electricity.
Yeah,
and,
indeed.
Fast
CDs.
Water.
Wind power and solar power.
Yeah. Oh, it's getting political on Sunday, Bender. Let's keep it moving to avoid any hate mail. But we're going to stay with engines. This time we're adding an extra couple of cylinders, a V8 that's going to be in the Caprice, the Holden Caprice. There's news here also, isn't there, Paul?
That's right. So another tidbit that I discovered was that Holden is indeed upgrading the V8 for the next, or the final locally produced Commodore, and also the finally produced Caprice. So it's going from a 6-litre V8 to a 6.2-litre V8, and it's a codename L99, which is basically a newer version of the LS3. It comes with some fuel-saving tech, and that's going to produce a fairly impressive 304 kilowatts of power. So it's about on par with what the Chev SS does.
That's like an HSV in a standard Holden.
That's it.
Well, it effectively is the engine, isn't it? Hang on, is it still 6-litre or 6.2?
6.2.
So it is an HSV.
It's the exact same as the LS3, aside from some extra stuff to make it use less fuel.
There's no replacement for displacement, Amanda.
And
exactly.
Yeah. And but there is no replacement for the Caprice because that's coming to an end in 2017.
Right.
No more
and
Caprice.
No V6 as well, so that'll be gone. So the only engine option will be the V8.
Interesting.
It'll just be a tyre shredder.
Are we? Totally. Are we sad about that?
Well, the V6 was the whole LPG thing just wasn't working for them. So, and no one buys the V6 anyway. They're all getting the 8s and just sticking LPG on it. So,
I'll be sad. Yeah. I mean, I love the way Commodores and Statesmans drive. Yeah. They're kind of cushy and they're so nice to drive. You know, rear drive. Easy to turn and just
sideways.
Yeah, a little bit of that.
On Fender Bender, we only condone responsible driving. Thank you very much, Paul.
I bet.
You and your sideways talk. Again, I'm going to have to move the subject on because it's getting a little bit too risky. Something that's not risky to talk about are Suzukis. And for no bad reason, I had a chat with the managing director of Suzuki Australia, Andrew Moore, he's called. I had a chat with him last week and he told me that they have grand plans for Suzuki in Australia.
Ooh.
Back in 2010.
They?
Yes, they do. Don't sound so surprised, Amanda.
Do tell.
In 2008, actually, way back then, they predicted that they were going to be selling 40,000 Suzukis in Australia by 2010. And everyone laughed. Wow. And it never happened. So I had a chat with Andrew Moore and asked him why you didn't manage to make the targets, and also, do you still have ambitious plans? And he has now said they've downgraded their efforts. Mm. By 2017, they will be selling 30,000 in Australia. Now, that's a little bit more of a believable target.
Yeah.
And do we know how they're going to be driving this growth?
Flying cars.
No.
Motorcycles.
We're talking just good. What? Good. I like your lateral thinking, Amanda.
So do I. That's
but no. It's that we're talking cars only here. Oh. Vitara.
Yeah, okay.
The Vitara is nearly here. Okay. Now, love or hate small SUVs. Yeah, all right, Amanda. She's picked up her phone. She's turned off.
I'm just making sure that I know what we're talking about. I've never heard of a Holden. I mean, I've heard of Holdens before, but we don't have them in the States.
Yeah. It's okay.
So some of these cars, I'm just like, oh, okay.
Okay, so sure. Suzuki Vitara. That's good. Okay, for the benefit of listeners who don't know what we're talking about, Suzuki Vitara is a 1.6-litre small SUV. It actually hasn't been in Australia for many years. It used to be here as a model, and it's going to be reintroduced, and Suzuki badly need it because they can't compete at the moment in that segment particularly, and that segment is doing really, really well. So when it arrives just next month, they've got grand plans for the Suzuki Vitara, and hopefully it will get them up to their 30,000 units per year at last.
I remember having a Suzuki Vitara with Paul about 8 years ago, and just
soon after we met, we went off roading and
flogging out the back of Anglesey.
It was actually me. So we were so muddy that day. It was good fun.
It was good fun though. Yeah, and so basically, Vitara is pretty good off road.
Yeah, it's
anyone
awesome.
That's wondering. Yeah,
good guys. Fun. Talking about getting muddy and spending time together, and the cars is all too much. I'm going to have to enforce a break. We're going to be back very shortly. You're on Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. She's quite right. She's quite right. That's actually the wrong button, but it was about Fender Bender, so I'm not particularly bothered. Yes, you are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. We are talking all things news at the start of the show, but we're going to move to slightly more. Okay, we're going to do something. This is very carefully engineered by me. We're going to talk about both local and international news in the same model.
Wow.
Okay.
It's full on.
Ferrari 488 GTB. Has been confirmed for Australia. It is now here. It has launched. We have the Ferrari 488 on home turf. It is a fabulous thing. It's basically got the California engine in it. It's a 3.9 twin turbo. It is here.
No more naturally aspirated. That's the big deal with this, isn't it? They've gone turbo for Ferrari, which is a touchy subject for a lot of people because they're saying Ferrari should be pure, should be naturally aspirated. But yeah.
Well, it's weird because I'm never happy. I'm never happy. Grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. I love the F40 because it was a stupid turbocharged Ferrari back in the 80s, 90s. I was like, brilliant. No one else is doing turbocharging quite the same way, and Ferrari went there and did it. Then they went normally aspirated, and I was thinking, come on, do turbocharging. Now they've gone turbocharged, and everyone says, no, come on, guys. Gone are the days of normal aspiration. They won't sound right. They won't drive right. But apparently it does drive right.
Yeah. I would assume so. They make their cars as beautiful on the inside as they are on the outside. I'm looking at the picture right now. It kind of reminds me of like a Pagani Zonda.
Yep.
Same sort of shape,
Yeah.
Which is beautiful. I think this one's a little bit less, it looks less like a bug.
You're not the first person.
The Zonda, it does kind of have this like weird, freaky kind of dragonfly look to it. But the Ferrari's beautiful, and I think that they're going to do whatever they do. They usually do it with a really high level of grace and thought put into it. So I don't think that anything they do is going to come out in a way that people don't actually like.
I completely agree. Ferrari, if anyone was going to get turbocharging right and maintain that sound and the drivability, it's going to be Ferrari. Yep. I mean, other makers out there like Mercedes in their AMG GT, which I was lucky enough to drive on the Bathurst racing circuit a couple of weeks back.
Nice.
Didn't mention that.
Really funny. No. I'll mention it several more times. you can have a really decent exhaust note with a turbocharger in the exhaust system. You can have responsiveness. There's not necessary. And so, look, the Ferrari will always be a fabulous car. They wouldn't let it past any stage of development without it.
Look, I'm being devil's advocate there. I'm not saying, because I haven't driven it, obviously, I'm not saying it's garbage, but it's got a lot of things going for it. It's obviously gorgeous, as Amanda said. It's more powerful now, and it's also cheaper, I believe, too.
Yes.
So then when do we get to drive that? Because I think that we should really get me behind the wheel.
As soon as we can chip in our pocket change and come up with $469,888.
Let's just call it half a mil. And we'll,
yep. All right, okay. Listeners, you've heard it. We need this money. Charity. We are now raising money to get us in a Ferrari.
Absolutely right.
You can touch the Ferrari once we buy it, but yes. After that yes. will be it.
Just touch it. You're not off a ride it. Or anything.
You can take a picture in it.
You can smell it.
That's very generous.
Yeah, you can smell it. You can touch it. I think that's more than enough. I think we're being very generous.
That's very nice. I'm glad to see she's only her first show, and Amanda's completely got the right idea of how to work at Fender Bender. Moving overseas. Now then, you mentioned the cool half a million. The spider version has been unveiled overseas. It will officially unveil at the Frankfurt Motor Show.
So what's a spider?
Spider is a thing that terrifies Dan whenever he finds one in his house.
And he runs out. Generally 8 legs, creepy looking fangs.
But what do they call? It's a convertible, right? Why do they call a convertible version a spider?
Surely it's just an Italian word for something.
I don't know.
Is it speeder?
Well,
that was just with an Italian accent. That's the only difference.
What's that exactly? It's funny because some manufacturers spell, a lot of manufacturers use the term spider to talk about a convertible.
I mean, spell different.
Some people spell it.
Yeah, they spell it with a Y.
Yeah, that's right. So I think Porsche does the Y, don't they? Yes. And Ferrari does the I.
Yeah.
Who knows? Either way, it's out there. It will be officially unveiled at Frankfurt Motor Show in a couple of months. And it's fabulous. It's exactly the same car, effectively, under its skin. It's got the same engine. It's got pretty much the same...
Just Google spider and it's actually just a scary-looking thing.
It's just scary.
But the difference is you can be seen in your Italian...
Yeah, precisely.
...work of automotive art. Yeah,
yeah, but you won't look like a work of art when you're driving a car that fast with the top down.
That's
your hair's going to look like a mess. Yeah. You're going to look like you ran through a wind tunnel or something. It's going to awful.
The voice of reason. This is why we have you on. Exactly.
So, of course, I'm a woman. I have to think about my hair.
So effectively, what you're saying is don't bother. Now, pricing isn't quite out for Australia yet, but if it follows the same trend as previous Spider to Coupe or GTB Ferraris, then it will be around about the $508,000. So the cool $500,000. So what you're saying, Amanda, is save yourself that extra $50,000. And keep your hairdo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep your hair good down point. Nice. You're still driving a Ferrari.
Sounds like sage advice from the Fender Bender team. Moving on to something that is definitely not as pretty as the Ferrari, the Tartan Prancer. Now then, this is a vehicle that actually doesn't really exist, but it has been created for a revisit of the film. What is the film?
Vacation.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a remake of National Lampoon's Vacation, the old Chevy Chase.
Hold on, I haven't heard about this. Are they doing a remake?
They're doing a
remake? Yeah, and it looks quite funny. I watched the previews and I laughed. So.
It cannot be a failure, that film. If it's got anything to do with the original, it'll be wonderful. Terrible. So they've introduced a new family wagon for the film, and it is... What do we say, guys?
It's a minivan.
Cutting-edge product design or just plain fugly?
It is fugly. It's so horrible.
In all the right ways.
If you are anywhere near something called the internet right now, we urge you to do an image search of the Tartan Prancer and let us know on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au just exactly what you think of that vehicle.
Or look up the video. There's a I think it's Lithuanian or Latvian video. Of this spruiking the Tartan Prancer, and it's hilarious. There's a guy that's chain smoking cigarettes, and the car has cup holders on the outside instead of the door handles.
I love it.
And he does a lot of karate kicks and things as well.
So cool.
Very strange.
And they also gave it such a terrible name.
Yeah.
A Prancer?
Yes.
Who's prancing in a freaking minivan?
That's exactly.
There is no so prancing true. Going on in a minivan.
I hear that one of the options that comes with it is a paper bag for you to pop on your head so no one can see.
Oh, thank God. Good. Okay.
Look, it's not the prettiest thing, but I think the point is it's supposed to be hideous, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
Now, what I find amusing about this, though, is even though they went to the extent of actually deliberately making a car physically vile, some manufacturers actually do that on purpose.
Yes.
I think there's uglier vehicles than the Tartan
QX80. Prancer.
Sorry,
I think someone said QX80.
Someone did say
name
QX80.
Names. Well, there's one.
Yes.
Have you got any others?
Sorry, if you're listening and you own an Infiniti QX80, then you own the most ugly...
It's the massive one. Oh,
yes.
God.
Absolutely
horrific.
Hideous.
It looks like a pufferfish, doesn't it?
Yep.
Now, what would we think if the Griswolds drove around in the QX80?
Well, it reminds me of a quote from National Lampoon's when they first pull up in the wooden panelled wagon, and they go, "If you think you hate it now, just wait till you drive it." And that's what's coming into my head.
Oh, yes.
The other thing it reminds me of is when Homer designed a car. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, these are the mistakes. Who designed the Tartan Prancer? I wonder. Maybe they just
good question.
Got a cartoon character to do it. Maybe because it certainly looks that way.
It does have a cartoon. cartoonish look. It's kind of got like these funky little, the lights look like eyeballs, but I mean, this is kind of, this is a girl that you would not take home unless you have, you have seriously, seriously hit the bottom of the barrel. The very bottom. You've drank your way to the bottom of the barrel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, awful. I would drive it. I'm just putting it out there. I would drive it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, just to say you did.
Totally. And also, you know, there's a real value in cars that look different on the road. Mm. You know, I think there's value in that. Yeah. And also it runs on three different fuels.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It runs on petrol, diesel and electricity. So,
oh, you mean embarrassment?
Yeah.
there's a fourth fuel. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we can say the Tartan Prancer is like a fat chick. Fun to ride in until your friends find out.
That is gold.
We have had a contribution from Studio One, who says the Fiat Multipla was uglier, if not as ugly.
Yes.
Oof.
Disagree entirely. I'm getting a look from Studio One now. He hates me. I think the Fiat Multipla was a beautiful thing. That's another thing that you should have to look up. It was functional. No, stop looking at me like that, all right? It was functional, and and form follows function. It's a beautiful thing. It's like the Series 1 lightweight Land Rover. It's a brilliant looking thing, you know?
This looks like a spaceship got chopped in half and then put on top of a wagon. Yep. It is terrible.
It's funny, the back looks like the front. It looks like you could drive it both ways.
No one would ever know. Yeah. You're being very unkind. So again, I'm going to have to flex my production muscles and move us on to another talk topic. Keeping overseas, the grand overall global sales race is very close this year, very close. Now, traditionally, Toyota always absolutely kicks it in.
Number one
every year for the last however many, I can't remember, years. But they are being given a very real run for their money by Volkswagen, of all people. So far, at the halfway point this year, Toyota have sold, I can't even get my head around this figure, 5.02 million vehicles globally, worldwide. But VW, at the same point in the year, 5.04. So they're actually just ahead at the halfway point. Wow. Potentially, this means that VW overtake Toyota for the first time in years.
So my technical question here is that Volkswagen is in Porsche and all the other sub-brands?
Volkswagen Group, yeah. So that's Porsche, Skoda, Audi, Volkswagen, Lamborghini. Okay. It's
and then Toyota is Lexus as well, right?
Yeah, Toyota, Lexus. I think they've got a few others. Hino maybe and some truck brands.
My question in addition to that question is, surely with all the cars that Audi, Volkswagen, etc. are producing, like every time you bring in a new model, it's more sales. Whereas Toyota seems to be just sort of okay with what they've got. There's no sort of new models coming online. Yeah, so maybe that's just the reason, because there's just new things for people to buy. You just sort of naturally get more sales.
I want to finish up just talking about one very controversial, potentially, I don't know, let's just put this, London that has proposed a new rule.
Oh, yes, this is great.
That is to ban, and I'm quoting, young men in supercars. Now, explain, someone, please, what is going on
here? I think
here?
Not technically correct. I think they want to ban supercars, drivers in a couple of very fancy suburbs of London, West London. And that's because the local residents don't like the noise and the what is it? The showboating, I guess, if you like.
And that's what it is. Like every modern
revving
supercar.
The engines and...
Yeah, you know. Every modern supercar.
That's the fastest part.
Yeah, but I mean, it's so stupid when you think about it, because an Aventador, for example, you have to manually put it into neutral to rev it.
Yes.
And it's like, no, it's not like the old days where you just dip the clutch and give it a stab. You actually have to do something entirely stupid to make that noise. And anyone that realises, you just look at them and go, well, you're a wanker.
So these laws they're proposing for these parts in London are very similar to some of the laws we have here in Victoria, which are the anti-hoon laws, which you can have your car confiscated for spinning the wheels and things like that. But I think there could be more backlash in London because people normally get more upset than perhaps
on the one
here.
Hand, I fully support these rules because I hate seeing people younger than me in supercars.
Yes.
On the other hand, I would completely oppose them if I was that person in the supercar.
That's fair.
Agreed.
That note, we have to go to a break. Stick with us. We've got about a half an hour left. We're talking things that are definitely not Toyotas after the break. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about American Muscle and some hypercars. So stick with us. You're on Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Yes, all right.
There's a lot of
All right, you are listening to Fender Bender. My name is Daniel Gardner, and this is Joy 94.9. And yes, that was Aqua. Yeah, and it's my show, and there's nothing you can do about it. I'm going to play Aqua as much as I like. You wait till you hear what song we're going out on. Oh, my God.
Can't wait.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Fender Bender on a Saturday afternoon. We've been talking all things international and local news, one or two amusing topics in there, but now we're going to go very serious, and we're going to turn to our US correspondent, Amanda, who's flown in all the way from the US specifically to be on Fender Bender.
Boy, are my arms tired.
What are you doing to this show? You are upholding the quality of this show. That's what you're doing. Now then, Amanda, when I first met you,
yes,
we very quickly got onto the topic of cars, and I knew you would be perfect as the Fender Bender US correspondent because you got your phone out, and in your phone you have a list of all the muscle cars you want to own.
Yes, I do.
This immediately makes us friends.
And they're all chronologically ordered too.
That is amazing.
By year, which I think is the most important
part. We are going to talk about those a little bit later because I want to talk to these guys about what their favourite muscle cars are. But the reason we really want to talk to you is on a much more important level. There is real relevance to muscle cars in Australia. Now, previously, there's not really been much on offer in Australia in the way of big V8 American-built rear-drive coupes and convertibles. But things are changing. And we already know, and we talk quite frequently about this, that the Ford Mustang is on its way to Australia later this year, a car I rate very, very highly indeed, having driven it in the US when it launched. But no one else is really coming to the party. So muscle cars are an important thing, and they're your speciality. And I want to talk to you about why they're so special in the US. Why has America got such a love affair with the muscle car?
Well, I think muscle cars are just kind of part of our history. You know, we have pictures of our dads and our cousins and our brothers and all that stuff. Back in the day with the long hair and the beards and the bell-bottom pants and standing next to these cars that... they have no right to be driving. I mean, they are, they're like flying metal death traps, you know. They are big and heavy. The doors, you have to, you know, rip them shut, and they're loud, and they have way more power than a young man could handle, which is why women should drive them. but it's something, it's been, all the good guys in the movies drive the muscle cars. Everyone who's, you know, grown up and loved cars has seen these, and they're beautifully made with excessive power, and it's just kind of like you're like a little kid. It's like glee. You're like, oh my god, that's it. Yes.
So there's a tradition. It's part of America's history to sort of do things to excess, really.
Absolutely.
You know, more power than you need, not enough grip than you need for all that power.
Exactly.
And absolutely no way to go around a corner. But that's kind of changing, and certainly the Ford Mustang has proved that you can have every bit of the muscle car still, but add a level of refinement, which means it will sell in Europe, it will sell in Japan, and it will sell here. Mm-hmm. So things have moved on a little bit. And do you think that same recipe that you talk about in the US, which has, you know, got that following, captured that following of petrol heads for years, do you reckon that can be synthesized in Australia and we can do the same?
I think that you're going to find petrol heads everywhere. You know, everybody, your gearheads live everywhere. My brother actually would lose his mind if I haven't told him yet that I'm on the show. But I'm going to send him the podcast and he's going to freak out. But I think that you find that gearheads, as they learn more about cars and they, you know, grow to appreciate them more, there's more that they want from them. And Americans have kind of always been like the, yeah, we want power and it's got to be big and mean and fast. But I think
you sound American. You don't
know,
have to
I don't
do
have
that.
To sound
yeah. We believe you already. Yeah.
But I think that other countries feel less, I don't know how to put it, just like gregarious, I don't know.
Yeah, but Australia less... also has the same love affair. I mean, we've got you know, big V8 rear drive. We've got the Holden and Ford, which have done. You know, we were talking earlier in the show about the Caprice, which has got a 6.2 V8 in it. It's, you know, that's more than enough to pull away sensibly from the lights, isn't it?
It's true. So but I think they need a little bit more refinement in it. I think that the muscle cars, when they're coming here, they need a little bit of something extra, because I think that Americans are very happy with just driving fast and blowing through lights and getting chased by cops or whatever we imagine that we could do. But I think
it's a fantasy we all have.
It's true. Cool, it's true. I think that there's a little bit more refinement when you leave the country that you need to embrace.
But you're right, though. I do think you're right about that whole, the notion, the possibility that you could run a red light and get chased by the cops, in exactly the same way that no one really needs to own an SUV in this country.
Yes.
They like the possibility that they can go off-road in it, but no one ever really does that.
Of course not.
But it's same with the muscle car. You know you've got all that power on your foot. You don't necessarily have to use it, and rarely do people actually... Well, rarely can you safely and sensibly use it within the confines of the law, but it's having that potential, isn't it? You know you can hit Route 66 and drive for days, you know? You know you could do a squillion miles an hour, but no one ever does, but they've got the potential sat in a carriage. Is that the appeal, do you think?
I think that the appeal is definitely, you know, there is that, you know, it's you can one minute be sitting completely still and the next minute be flying. And I do think that here in Melbourne, it's going to be a little bit harder for gearheads to appreciate the Mustang, because there's red lights freaking everywhere and people are like rats in the city. No offense, but they are everywhere. underfoot, all over the place. You'll never be able to drive a car comfortably here.
Well, that's the best thing about a muscle car is it's actually a form of population control. Yeah. Is it'll just start wiping out random members of the population. And, you know, well,
and a loud engine is also, you know, it's like a klaxon. It warns people that you're coming.
Yeah.
It's not like a silent hybrid where you'll just, you know.
By that reckoning, then electric cars are dangerous, aren't they?
Yes. I think they are.
So what we need is more muscle cars with no exhausts.
Yes.
And fewer electric cars.
Done. Yeah. Lock it in.
Another problem we've solved on Fender Bender. But we're talking about refinement and the increasing sort of technologies in muscle cars. And again, I fall back on the Mustang, which I think is fantastic. Has that kind of removed some of the classic appeal? I mean, there's quite a strong following of classic muscle car owners in Australia, people who've imported cars from overseas and had them converted. Or do you think that too many modern sophistications kind of ruin the recipe of a muscle car?
Actually, I think muscle cars need a little bit of that. I think they need a little bit of refinement. I think they're kind of just wild children, and it's a lot about the look and what's under the hood, and it's not so much about it's about driving the car, but it's not about the inside. There's not a lot of thought put into it. I find a lot of times you find these muscle cars and they have regular CD players or, you know, seats that aren't really comfortable, or, you know, the way that they drive, the materials they're made out of. They spent so much time on the outside and under the hood. They don't really pay attention to the comfort of the person behind the wheel. And of course, you're not exactly expected to be comfortable when you're throttled in a seat at however many miles an hour.
Exactly.
But you could be comfortable.
Okay.
And there's nothing wrong with
it. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's lay it on the line. I want you to get your phone out, Amanda. I want you to tell us what are your top muscle cars.
Okay.
This is the official list.
The official list.
And incidentally, if you want to chip in, 0427JOY949 is the text, or you can email us your top muscle car pick on air at joy.org.au. Amanda, hit us.
1967 Shelby GT500 Mustang.
Nice.
Absolutely.
The Eleanor, if you've seen Gone in 60 Seconds.
Gone in 60 Seconds, yeah. Sorry.
Stunning car.
1969 Dodge Charger.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, please. Absolutely.
So good. The 69 Z28 Camaro.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
1970 Boss 302 Mustang.
Okay, yeah.
And the 1970 Plymouth Barracuda.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that is a good list.
Yeah.
No Roadrunner on the list, though. No Roadrunner.
I mean, it's a short list. I have plenty of space to add.
I'm putting the question out further afield now, gentlemen. What would go on your top muscle car list?
For me, and I've driven this, is a 1979 Trans Am with a big block. Oh, I can't remember how many cubes it was. It was like 450 something, about 7.8 litres.
Ooh.
This is my father-in-law's, and I drive it in Perth, and it is an absolute burnout machine.
Like, oh, absolutely.
Three on the tree, Targa top. It is just amazing. And yeah, it's not comfortable. It's loud. It's noisy. But there's something about it. It's got this character and this spirit that I'll never forget. Yeah,
it's incredible.
I feel like I was there. That was so cool.
I know. I've actually got a tear.
Yeah, good. Mine, not really a muscle car, but the Dodge Viper, I reckon, is just insane.
How dare you? That was my pick. Which one, though? Which one?
I quite like the new one, but you really have to go for the proper V10, the big phallic bonnet, and it's just, it's the shit. Yeah.
Well, Paul has stolen my thunder, quite literally. That is my, okay, let's do that. It's a terrible car, by all accounts.
It is.
I think a Corolla could probably lap a circuit about as quick these days, but it's not the point. That's the point. What we're talking about is muscle cars. You're buying into an emotional experience rather than a performance experience. And, you know, everyone who listens to the show regularly knows I frequently wank on about how much I love 5 and 10 cylinder engines. So to combine an 8-litre 10-cylinder with the body that looks like a Viper, I'm afraid that's a match made in heaven.
Yep. Reality's boring, so buy a fantasy. I mean, that's what it's about. And I think, you know,
Amanda, you're going to stick with us. You're going to talk for the rest of the show. We're going to be talking a little bit more muscle, but from a different part of the world after the break. So stick around. Thank you very much. Please, you're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Kylie Minogue, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Thanks, Kylie. You're listening to Joy 94.9. She said, she's right.
She forgot to mention.
She is.
So hot.
Everyone has something to say about Kylie, don't they?
Yes.
Bless her. My name is Daniel. This is Fender Bender on Saturday afternoon. You're listening to Joy 94.9. Before the break, we were talking all things muscular with the fabulous Amanda, our US correspondent, flown in especially for this episode of Fender Bender. But now we're going to move on to talk about a different kind of muscle. This is Italian, in brackets, German, muscle. Of course, we could be speaking of nothing other than, well, there's a few things, but specifically, Finn, we're talking about Lamborghini, aren't we? And why are we talking about Lamborghini?
I had the very good fortune of driving both an Aventador and a Huracan, if I was to say
what?
Like an Italian.
It's not said like that.
No, it is. It's a silent H. Huracan, it is. But we would say Huracan. And I drove them 2 weeks ago.
The two available Lamborghinis in Australia. Back to back.
Back to back on the
same
day.
Hang on, just going to turn his microphone off for a second.
While Lamborghini is technically owned by Audi, they are still made in Italy. So they're all, you know, lovingly built in Santa Gata. And
he's getting all the praise. Yes. I wanted you to have a go at Amanda's surname at the end of the
show. You should see what Paul's doing if you're in the studio. I'll try and get through it quickly. I tested both of them and I really do love them both. But for me, the Huracan, the new one, is such it's a much easier, nicer car to drive, and I enjoyed that more. But I'll start with the Aventador because it's got the swing wing vertical doors, which is
so fun.
Oh my god,
so fun!
Really hard to get in and out of the car though because there's such wide
especially
seals.
When you're wearing a skirt.
Indeed, yes, and but this,
which Fian is today.
He
looks
it's
fantastic.
A grass skirt from Hawaii. Right? but this car is just amazing. Like a bit like we were talking with the muscle cars, they have this passion and this persona that you just do not find anywhere else. And it's like getting into a spaceship. When you step inside it and sit in it, everything is just phenomenal.
Like the starter button?
The starter button. It's like a fighter, you know, fighter jet missile lock. You got to bring this
It's like a toggle. You got
like a toggle.
Like armed.
Yeah, all these toggle
so
buttons.
Fun.
And, yeah.
Oh, what?
And everything's digitized now. It's very, very modern and it works really well. Everything works well. And they are stupidly fast, both of them. Obviously, Aventador is faster. It's got the V12. And I actually got scared driving it because it's so wide on the road. Yeah. I'm just like, please nobody hit me because, you know, there was
half the problem. People taking photos of you and forgetting how to drive.
You drive this along the freeway. People are almost like running into each other trying to get a photo or looking at it. And people go bonkers when you drive past in this bright red $760,000 car.
Whoa.
I've no idea why.
And then they see the person front seat.
Yeah, they're like,
what is special
stolen?
About that guy? What is this?
So handsome. What's the problem?
And, things they don't say.
and so that car is insane. It's four-wheel drive, but even we drove it around some really nice mountain roads, but you can the back still sort of wants to slide out. It's very much rear biased.
I cannot think of anything more utterly terrifying than a $760,000 supercar letting go of the rear end.
It is a little scary. But
that would certainly get the brain adrenaline flowing.
But no, it's quite the way it delivers power because they're non-turbo these still. Yeah. They haven't gone down the Ferrari route of turbocharging yet, so they're both naturally aspirated, and you get a really linear power delivery. But for me, it was the Huracan because it was just easier to drive, and it kind of felt almost faster. The gearbox is much newer and much more
and
rapid.
It's a dual clutch as well,
It's a dual clutch, So you just hit the paddle shifters on the steering wheel, and it's like bang, 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 and you're doing a very high speed, obviously.
Within the limits?
Completely legal.
Yes. Of course.
Very, very quickly. And, of course, a lot of it is about the sound and the look, and both these cars do that to a T. So if I was to give them a score out of 10 each, I'd give the Aventador a 9 and the Huracan a 10 because...
Really?
They are just...
You're going to give a Lambo a 9?
Wow. So, yes.
A 9?
The car gods are looking down on you.
No,
the
mafia. I know, but I did like the Huracan more.
And
so
there goes his job.
My fender bender score is they stand. But yeah, if you ever get a chance...
Well,
just at least sit in one.
Two question or one question, one point. The video you guys shot was really cool.
Thank you.
If you want to hear it, you can just play that and just listen to the noise.
Exhaust note.
But do you reckon Ferrari or Lambo? If you suddenly came into a whole heap of cash, which one would you buy?
For me, it's Lambo all the way.
Yeah, same.
I really like the way their design is all angles and sharp angles. Mm-hmm. It's like a spaceship inside and out, whereas Ferrari is about the curve. So each to their own, but for me, it's Lambo.
I'm so sorry, but I'm afraid you're both completely wrong.
You're the prancer.
I am the prancer.
Yeah, there we go.
In my tartan. I'm actually.
So you're Ferrari, but let's ask Amanda. What would you go?
You know, I'd probably just get one of each in every color.
Good. Oh, you're sitting on the fence.
They're not
I haven't driven them. Let me drive them first, then we'll return revisit the subject.
Well, I will weigh in on this when I have a little bit more authority to say. I am driving the Lamborghinis in a couple of weeks, and you will hear all about it on Fender Bender for sure. In fact, you'll probably hear more than you want to, because I won't be able to stop talking about it. I have been lucky enough to drive some supercars in my time. The most recent one was the Ferrari F12, which I thought was a pretty good job all in all. You know,
it'll do.
Well done, Ferrari. Well done.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing. You know, it tries to put all its power down through just two rear wheels, similar sort of power. So the V12 normally aspirated. It ticks all the boxes. And for me, I am a lifelong Ferrari fan. I can't wait to get in the Lamborghinis, because of all you've said and all our other colleagues have said, they are potentially head-turning vehicles, not just for the people outside, but for the guys sat in it as well.
And then what? Just quickly, the four-wheel drive, when you nail the throttle, it's like the push in the back, the way you get squeezed against those beautiful leather seats, it's just there's nothing
God,
else like
disgusting.
It.
Disgusting. Ian, put your clothes back on, for God's sake.
It's punishing in all the right
is
ways.
Is it warm in here? Wow.
It sure is.
Has it got the right balance of Lamborghini passion and German engineering, though?
Look, you do feel a tiny bit more of the precision engineering from the German side, but I don't think that's a bad thing, because it still has all the Italian feel and spirit to it. It's just, it won't break down as much now.
I do remember once, I've never driven a Diablo, but I met one in person and was able to go over it with a fine-tooth comb. And I've never been so disappointed in a car in my whole life. I mean, there's a car that sat on my bedroom wall for years as a child. And then you look at it and the build quality is absolutely abominable. It's like nothing matches up. The colours are all awful. The switches look terrible. You look at it from the outside and just listen to it. It's great. But anyway, disappointed. I want to move on now, guys. And we're going to talk about something just to finish up the show. We've only got about 5 minutes left, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
But talking about fast cars and, you know, the potential to get into a little bit of trouble in them. And we're talking about muscle cars and how they have the potential to go really fast, but most sensible road users, like the dear listener of Fender Bender, will normally hem things in a little bit and take it easy. Some people don't. And often we see on the news people have decided to drive too fast or do something naughty and they get followed by the police. Even in even fewer circumstances, they decide to not stop when the police ask them. And this is the discussion and a subject we want to finish on, because it's quite a serious one. There are proposed changes to the law that say in Australia, or particularly Victoria, we should not pursue a driver or someone who's broken the law when they start driving too fast.
What's too fast?
Well, the changes have actually come through already, and the changes say
that's happened.
Yeah, police pursuits are banned. So unless there's a couple of minor caveats to this, but if you just decide to just go for it, they won't chase you. So the issue has come about because of people that have died due to police chases. So members of the public that are just
innocent bystanders who get caught up in a.
Yep. And one of the stats that alarm me the most is that 90% of the driver fatalities that have occurred where a police pursuit was initiated due to a minor offence, the offending driver was under the influence of drugs, alcohol, or both. So what the police are saying now, that if one of these people are driving the car and they decide to flee, they're not going to chase them. So instead, you're going to have some maniac on the road that's completely out of their mind who could possibly kill you because they don't want to chase them or track them down. I think it's the dumbest policy change in the world.
So the object of this new law is to try and protect the public, effectively, because when people are pursued, they drive fast and they crash. To me, that sounds like natural selection. This is, I think this is awesome. We were talking about ways to control the population. Well, here's a really good way.
Muscle cars and drug-addled users. You
absolutely
know,
brilliant. Driving them. That's fine.
Well, it's going to be good for sales of muscle cars and exotic cars, isn't it, Amanda? Because, you know.
It'll also be great for the sales of drugs, apparently.
Yeah. But the problem is, if you're this guy, right, that's got his boot full of cocaine or something, and you know that they're now not going to chase you because you can throttle on and they might catch up with you later because they've got your rego or something, you can flee home, dump the drugs, and then let them catch up with you later for a minor offence of, you know, fleeing police instead of the offence of boot full of drugs and trafficking and everything. So
yeah,
don't give people ideas.
They'll turn up at your house.
How do they know?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
The police will turn up at your house having not chased you.
Yeah.
They'll come into your front room. They'll pour you a cup of tea.
Yeah.
They might even do a bit of vacuuming. Yeah. Because they're so bloody good to everyone now. You know, they'll let you do whatever you like. You know, just invite the police around, do a little pop.
Unless you're a normal road user. You do 2Ks an hour over, you can lose your license in a matter of 6 months just by minor variations in speed. And here you have the serious offenders who are just... They're just making life easier for scumbags and crooks. It's just...
How does this compare to the laws in the US, Amanda? How does it work there?
Well, I have to say, I don't know necessarily. I'm not well versed on the laws of speeding because I don't get caught. But my
because you're going too fast. Yeah. I like
well,
it.
Hang on, whoa.
I do have to throw my dad under the bus, though. He told me a story back in the day where he borrowed his friend's Porsche.
Ooh.
And was driving it much too fast on the highway, and the cops started chasing him, and he got away.
Wow.
Took off down the highway as fast as he could, pulled an exit at the last minute, and parked in someone's driveway and got away.
I can feel the Joy 94.9 complaints line ringing off of the hook as we speak. I'm going to say it for the third time in the show today. We, of course, at Fender Bender do not condone any irresponsible driving at all.
No.
We are merely recounting someone's story.
Yeah.
This does stream online, you know, so potentially this could be going out in the US.
My dad will definitely hear this, and he's going to be like, really, Amanda? Really?
But come back
to be fair,
jail.
He did not have a boot full of cocaine. So
there's a problem.
Fantastic. Some of the scumbags that are going away are just lovely men who end up having daughters that are on Fender Bender. So really, is it that bad?
And on that potentially Dan losing his job note.
Sorry.
I have to say, I'm afraid, very, very sorry to say, guys, we are out of time again for another week. Thank you so much for being with us. God, I'm sweating. This is
I know.
Thank you so much, Paul. It's wonderful to have you back on the show. I hope you return again soon.
Absolutely.
Fionn, it's been wonderful to have you.
Always
also.
Awesome, mate. Thanks.
Fantastic. Do come back again soon. And also a huge thank you to the wonderful Amanda, our US correspondent, her first time in the studio. I do hope it's not the last time.
I don't think it will be. Let's be real.
Excellent.
It's too
fun. We are thoroughly looking forward to it. And all that remains is for me to say thank you so much for listening this week. This has been another hour of Motoring Madness. Do stick around, though, because coming up next are the wonderful guys from Technogaze. He's looking through the window at me right now. Creepy. And until next week, when I will be back, because Tim will still be at large overseas, all that remains is to say, not like Amanda's dad, please, safe driving. You're on Fender Bender on Joy 94.9.
This has been a Fender Bender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station. See joy.org.au for more details.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.